you. If you have your Bible, open with me to James, the third chapter, James chapter 3. And we'll look to the 13th verse and following. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and be against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would use this time for your glory. Thank you for those that are here. Father, use this, letting us understand this day is yours. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this world of coronavirus, have you heard the latest coronavirus joke? You probably won't get it. What better could we talk about today than just to ask the question, are you gonna go to heaven when you die? Now, I don't know how you will die. You don't know how you will die. It probably will not be by the coronavirus. But you will die in some way. I have heard some say, of course, I am going to heaven. That's a great thing to hear. But usually they follow that with, I haven't been that bad. That really is not a good thing to hear. It means that a person is weighing their sin against the sins of others. You don't get to heaven because you're better than somebody else that you found that is worse than you. I am sure that if you look hard enough, there is somebody worse than you. You don't get to heaven because you think you're going there. There are some that just say, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I hope so. They think you can't know. In fact, they say there's no way to know. They believe what's going to happen is this. They believe they're going to die, God's going to take them, and God is going to weigh out what their good and bad is. God's going to weigh all the good things they've done. God is going to weigh all the bad things they've done. If the good things they've done weigh more than the bad things they have done, then they get to go into heaven. They get the keys. Getting to heaven is not based on weight. Not your weight, not your sin's weight, not somebody else's weight. If getting to heaven was based on weight, I would eat a whole lot more fried chicken. You can know where you will go. The Bible gives us some assurances that you can actually have a peace and know that when you die, you will wake up in glory, you will be with Jesus, you will be in heaven one day. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. If you receive Jesus, you become God's children. God's children will go to God's place. 1 John 5 puts it a little more clearly. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God has written in His book that you can know that you have eternal life. You can know you're going to heaven. I hope you know. I hope it is firm in your heart. You know Jesus, and because you know Jesus, you know you are going to where Jesus is going to be. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When I breathe my last here, I am going to be with Him. I am going to be in heaven one day. Not because I'm good enough, I am not. Not because I'm good looking enough, I am not. Not because I know the right people. Oh, wait a minute. It is because I know the right person. Going to heaven is political. It's who you know. And if you know Jesus, you get to go. If you don't know Jesus, I'm afraid to tell you the truth. You don't go to heaven. The salvation you know should be the salvation you show. James tells us that if we have a relationship with God, it should show up in how we live. It should show up in how we conduct ourselves. It should show up in what we say. He continues in this vein when he speaks about wisdom. Wisdom doesn't exist in books when you're talking about godly wisdom. It's not the accumulation of facts. The Bible reveals that true wisdom doesn't show up on a test score. If you are a wise person, you will show that wisdom by how you live your life. It's not having knowledge, it's how you apply knowledge. It's not having facts, it's how you apply those facts. It is your life, it is your lifestyle that demonstrates the degree of wisdom that you possess. Everybody can have wisdom. Now, in truth, if you are going to have the wisdom of God, you've got to have God to have that wisdom. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you're going to be able to think like Jesus Christ, if you're going to be able to live like Jesus Christ, if you're going to live the life that God has for you to live. James wants us to have that kind of wisdom. He says in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What God says is, if you need wisdom about where you're going to go, what you're going to do, what you're going to say, how you're going to live, if you need wisdom to operate in this world, if you need wisdom to deal with the coronavirus or the flu or a politician, if you need wisdom in order to communicate with your spouse or with your kids, if you need wisdom, go to the one that has it. Go to God. I confess to you that I often find myself without wisdom, and I use this verse. I pray for wisdom. God says if you will come to Him, He will give it. That is a promise of God. Claim that. There's probably something this week you're going to need wisdom about. Go to God for it. Seek to operate on His wisdom, not on your wisdom, and certainly not on what you find out from Washington or the news. The Bible reveals we have to be careful in our pursuit of wisdom. Not all that's said to be wise comes from heaven. All that is truly wise comes from heaven. But James reveals that there's more than one kind of wisdom. There's a wisdom from above, and there's a wisdom from below. In James 3:17, it says the wisdom that is from above, that would be heavenly wisdom, that would be God's wisdom. In 3:15, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly. So there is a wisdom of heaven, and there is a wisdom of the earth. They are not equal. They are not the same. There is a wisdom that is divine, and there is a wisdom that is demonic. There is a wisdom that is eternal, and there is a wisdom that will perish with the earth. Which one are you living by? Let's look at earthly wisdom in 3:15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Most people think of wisdom as something you have in your head. But the Bible reveals wisdom goes deeper than that. Wisdom is actually held in your heart. Earthly wisdom will reveal itself in verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. The Bible tells us the attitude of earthly wisdom. Bitter envyings and strife. Bitter envyings, envy, jealousy. Jealousy is not of God. Jealousy is of this earth. It is a more devil-like thought than it is a godly thought. Jealousy is to be upset when you feel bad and somebody else feels good. It's to be upset because someone has better situations than you have. It's to be upset that someone else has more than you have. It's not a casual thought. Anybody might have a passing thought that you would like to have somebody else's job or somebody else's car or somebody else's house. And some of you might want somebody else's team. You might have a passing thought. But as long as it's a passing thought, as long as it goes in one ear and out the other and you don't dwell on it, it's just a passing thought. But when it becomes an obsession, when it becomes a drive, and you're fixated on what someone else has that you do not have, when you move into that jealousy world, the twin of jealousy is strife. Bitter envy seeks to want to take away from others. It seeks to want to tear others down. Now, a good way to think about this is in the political world. In the political world, you have two or more people applying for the same position. We're in a political season. I don't know if you've watched any of the Democratic debates. Some of them have been kind of humorous. Some of them have been kind of sad. But one thing that has come out is often when they come together and they talk, they don't talk about what they're going to do and they don't talk about their abilities and their qualifications. They talk about how bad the next guy is or lady. They talk about how evil they are and how ridiculous they are and how dumb they are. And the drive is an earthly wisdom drive that seeks to get ahead by tearing down somebody else. It's kind of like people at a business where somebody tries to climb over somebody else by pushing them down and out of the way in order to get to a higher position. That bitterness, that envy, that strife that comes in doesn't come from God. How refreshing it would be if we had a political campaign and we had a debate where the candidates just told of what they believed that they were going to seek to do and what their qualifications actually were, and they didn't spend their whole time attacking everybody else. Earthly wisdom is a wisdom that moves you to want to tear down others. In Jesus, we don't have to tear down anybody. We are in the business of lifting people up. This earthly wisdom can creep into a church. Listen, be careful about your motives. Is there somebody you're envious of, somebody you're jealous of? Somebody that you kind of want to bring down? Somebody that you just want to get ahead of? That's a sign of earthly wisdom. Sometimes churches fall apart because some people or groups seek to take over the control. God and God alone is to be in control of His church. You're not to be in control of it. I'm not to be in control of it. Our prayer is that Jesus is in control of it. When you find people who are full of envy, who always are at the center of strife, if there's a problem, they're always in the middle of it. They say, I don't know why, but I'm always seeing trouble wherever I go. Well, maybe it's you. Maybe you have become the seed of strife and the seed of earthly wisdom. We see the attributes of earthly wisdom. James uses three words here to describe earthly wisdom in verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, demonic. Earthly wisdom is, well, it's earthly. It's thinking like this world thinks. It is everybody else thinks it's okay, and so it must be okay. The whole world has accepted homosexual relationships, so it must be okay. The whole world has decided that you can live together as different sexes without marriage, and so it must be okay. The world says it doesn't matter who you marry or what you marry, so if you marry a goat, it must be okay. You know, that's worldly wisdom. That's going with the flow. Woman says that it's my body, it's my right. Well, all of us should think that's right. That makes perfect sense. It is in tune, I believe, with godly wisdom. But earthly wisdom goes on to say if the woman is pregnant and she just doesn't want a baby, that she can take the life of that child. That's earthly wisdom stepping in. Earthly wisdom seeks to use that envy quotient, that stepping on others, that putting others down, and puts the baby down in order to elevate the pregnant woman, and they dehumanize the baby. Well, how does that work? Well, they don't call the baby a baby. They don't call the baby a he or a she. Hey, if you go up to one of our ladies who is expecting and you refer to her child as an it, that's an insult. That mama knows she doesn't have an it. She has a baby. She may not know whether it's a he or a she, but she knows she has a living thing in her, and she has a baby there. But what the world says is not a he or a she, not a baby, it's a fetus. And so they dehumanize, push down the child in order to elevate that woman's rights to protect her own body. But who protects the baby? Worldly wisdom. Earthly wisdom can get a hold of a church. For instance, we all understand and we should all know it takes money to operate a church. It just does. Our budget is about $500,000 a year. We have to have money come in order to do things like keep lights on. Some of you, at some times a year, get cold and you want heat. Well, we have to pay for that to happen. This year we had to replace all the heaters in our adult building. And, in fact, we had to put in 3 5-ton units in our adult building. That all has a price. Some of you will want to be cool when the time comes and the heat goes up, and so we pay for that. And you know, whether you come on Sunday or not, those power companies still send bills. It's true. And I know this may not be your concern, but there are some of us who live by money we get from the church.
And you know, it's not an ungodly thing to say that, but Jake is thin. He needs to eat. He has to have money to do that. I'm not thin, but my wife and my family, like, they like to eat, and I do too. And so, you know, it takes money for that. You know, we have a team that comes and cleans the church. Praise God for people cleaning the church. They're using disinfectant. It costs to do that. And so, you know, that should be understandable. Earthly wisdom would start focusing just on the money and make it all about the money and make the money the main thing. That kind of thinking will kill a church. Listen, yes, we have to have the tithe to live and stay open. We have to have people's gifts in order to be a church. If you didn't give, we would not be here. If we went a week and we didn't receive any gifts at all, we would be hurting. We don't store great riches somewhere. We pretty much are week to week, like many of you. We are blessed to have some funds for building purposes. Praise God for that, and continue to give to those purposes. But it takes an inflow in order for us to go. And that's just the reality. But money is not why we exist. We're not about the money. We need it, yes, but worldly wisdom would focus on it and make it the main thing. When a church makes money the main thing, they cease to be a church. You gotta watch that earthly wisdom kind of just seeping in there. Earthly wisdom is sensual. That means that it is natural. It is psychological. It appeals to the senses, to the natural instead of the spiritual. Doing what seems right, just doing what seems naturally. Listen, we're supposed to be doing what seems spiritual. We're to do what seems godly, what God desires. We must attend to what God wants no matter how we feel, because God's the one that calls the shots. Earthly wisdom is demonic. That means it's wisdom that the devil would go along with. The Bible says you believe that there is one God. The devil also believes and trembles. The devil believes that Jesus is God. He believes that he died on a cross for others. He believes that he was buried and rose again. The devil knows all those things. The devil believes, but he's not committed to Jesus. He hasn't turned from sin to turn to Jesus. The devil is not saved. The devil is lost, and anybody that follows him is lost. You may have knowledge about the Bible, and you may have knowledge about Jesus, but that knowledge in itself is not a commitment to surrender to Jesus. We've got to move away from earthly wisdom, and we've got to make Jesus not something in our life, but the main one in our life. The actions of earthly wisdom in verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Earthly wisdom produces confusion and evil works. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but he is the God of order. The church of Corinth was plagued by earthly wisdom. What did they produce? Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that church was full of debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swellings, and tumults. Those kind of things don't come from God. Earthly wisdom can wreck a life. It can wreck a church. You need to try to stop living by earthly wisdom. So what's the other choice? Eternal wisdom. 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceful, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy.
The attitude of eternal wisdom, where the attitude of earthly wisdom is envy and bitterness, the attitude of eternal wisdom is to be pure and peaceful. To be pure. How pure are you? When I talk about being pure, I'm talking about a life that's been forgiven. I'm not talking about being perfect, because there's not a perfect person in the room. There's not a perfect person out of the room. Jesus is the only perfect person there has ever been. But you can still be pure. You can be pure by having God forgive you, being forgiven, going to the Lord, confessing your sins, allowing Him to cleanse you, walking pure with Him. And so we should live in a pure lifestyle with a pure heart. We should be able to go before people, and if we've wronged anybody, we've tried to make it right. If we've had to ask forgiveness, we've asked forgiveness, but certainly we have gone to God and asked for forgiveness every time we have sinned. That is the only way you can walk pure, only way you can have pure thoughts, only way you can work pure, work your life out purely with God. And if you move into that pure world, you're going to be a person that's seeking peace. You're not going to be trying to be at odds with everybody. You're going to want the peace of God to cover everybody. You're going to be a person that has peace instead of worry. You know, the one thing this virus has brought out is worry. We have a worried world. We have a panicking world. I saw just the other day from our own Sam's store, There was an outbreak of disruption, of confusion and violence, and someone had to be carried out on a stretcher. What was the problem? Trying to get toilet paper. Now, I was told that became viral. I guess it's appropriate for the season, but anyway, it was seen all around town. And I was watching the national news last night, and what did I see but our Sam's store? That's not the publicity we want going forth from our city. That panic, that worry does not come from God. We're to be people of trust and faith, people that are seeking to live in peace because our heart's at peace. If I am forgiven by God, I can be at peace with God. If I am forgiven by God, I can forgive you, and I can be at peace with you. So in my heart as a believer, my eternal wisdom would seek to be at peace and seek to live at peace and seek to know, even though there's a virus out there that we don't know we got because nobody's got a test for it yet, or, you know, God's got it. God's going to handle it, and even if I end up with it, God can still take care of it. We've got to operate on wisdom from above. Simply put, live for the glory of Jesus with a desire to please Him in all that you think and all that you do and all that you say. Seek to make peace and don't live trying to be at strife. Some people, their whole life is trying to make other people upset. They're only happy when other people are unhappy. Well, that's not a godly life. That's not the life we should be a part of. The attributes of eternal wisdom: be gentle, easy to be entreated. Now, gentle doesn't mean weak. It means to be kind and fair. We should be kind in our actions toward others. We should care about others. We should do things with the thought of others. This whole thing about not shaking hands, it's not because of what I think I'm going to get. It's not because I think I have something. It's not about me. It's that I don't want to pass anything along to you. And so you live with the thought of somebody else. And to be gentle, Barclay says it's to know how to forgive when justice gives you the right to condemn. It's the ability to treat other people as you would like to be treated. Well, that's what Jesus says we should do. Be easy to to be entreated. That means to be reasonable. Have you ever been around unreasonable people? There are some people that no matter how sensible something is, they won't be sensible. It seems to be the media operates in that world. We need to be reasonable, easy to get along with, trying to find a harmonious spot, trying to find, we don't do what people want at any cost, no. But we are reasonable to try to make things as good as they can be. When Abraham and Lot had to decide who would take which land, and there was a good-looking spot of land, and then there was a not-so-good area of desert. Abraham was the elder. He had every right to choose the best. But you know what? Abraham was a man looking with eternal wisdom, and he let Lot make the choice, even though he had the choice, he had the right to it. He let Lot do it. Why? He was being reasonable. He was trying to operate so that both men could be at peace and their families could be at peace. Be easy to be entreated. Try to make things easy for others. Don't try to make things hard for others. Be one that operates with the attributes of eternal wisdom. And then the actions of eternal wisdom. It says, be full of mercy and good fruits. The Bible says we should be merciful in our dealings with others. Mercy is when you don't treat other people like they deserve to be treated. You know, you say, well, you don't deserve that. None of us deserve a lot that's good. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve, but I don't want that. I want mercy. And the scripture is very clear. If you want mercy, you have to show that you have mercy. You give mercy to get mercy. We should treat others the way we want to be treated. We should treat people not like they deserve to be treated. We should treat people the best we could possibly treat them. How they deserve or what they deserve is not a matter that should enter into the discussion. We should give people of the best of God because God has blessed us with mercy. I don't know about you, but I want mercy. And how dare I not treat somebody else with mercy? That's why we welcome anyone to our church. We have people that have made terrible mistakes. We have people that haven't made mistakes. They've just done flat out wrong. You know what? They're welcome here. Because they need God's mercy, just like I need God's mercy. And we are to be people that pick one another up, that pick others up, that help other people get on their feet, that help other people have the best life they can have because they need mercy and we need mercy. And that's how God would have us operate toward them. We're not to have just little dabs of mercy. We're to be full of mercy. Listen, it's a great thing for somebody to say, well, Northside Baptist Church, they'll take anybody. Praise God! Jesus is willing to reach out to anybody. We should seek to be just the same. We should be merciful. We should be reaching out to others and showing mercy. It says good fruits. That means you're willing to do good things to other people. Encourage others. Bless others. Help things to be better for others. Without partiality. I heard somebody talking about a deceased person the other day, and they said, you know, they would meet somebody and you would think they had known them forever. Well, that's pretty neat. We should meet new people and treat them with the same grace and compassion of someone that we've known and had a relationship with forever. We shouldn't have partiality. We should have the same love and care for new people as we do for everybody else, and we shouldn't treat other people with prejudicial thinking. We shouldn't be partial. We should be without hypocrisy. What does that mean? That means we don't put on a show. Have you ever been with somebody and they were talking and they were one way with you and somebody else walks up, somebody with a little bit of importance, and all of a sudden they become a different person? You know, if we're walking with God, we're the same with everybody. We're the same with the haves as we are with the have-nots. We're the same with the best of the world as we are with the not so goods. We're seeking to show the same love, the same power of Jesus with everybody that we come in contact with, no matter who they are. That's how Jesus is. Aren't you glad Jesus is not partial? Aren't you glad Jesus is willing to offer his salvation to everybody in the room and not just a few? Aren't you glad that he's willing to pick up those that really do not deserve it at all, because that is all of us? Aren't you glad that when he went to the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, we were in the them," and he wanted to forgive us? Aren't you glad that his blood covers all your sin and all mine and all everybody else's? All we have to do is come to him to receive that forgiveness. That is the wisdom of God that needs to become part of our lives. And the only way you can have the wisdom of God, eternal wisdom operating in your life, is for you to have God operating in your life. And so you got to have God. You got to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There has to be a real point in your life when you bow down to Jesus and you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You turn from sin, you turn to Jesus, you say yes to him, you invite him to be your Lord and all. And if you've never done that, we give you the opportunity to do that. Just come forward and say, "I want Jesus." It's real simple. God made it simple because he knew there would be people like me. And so all you have to do is say, "I want Jesus." If you want him, I guarantee you he wants you. Jesus died for you. He will save your soul today. Believer, what kind of wisdom have you been using? Now, let's just be honest. All of us have used, at some point, the wrong kind of wisdom. But that doesn't mean we have to keep doing it. Let's turn our minds, let's turn our hearts, let's turn how we act toward others. What do you do when the world is going crazy? Hey, we're there. You take the eternal wisdom of God and you let that pour through your life to others. And then all of a sudden you're bringing peace to situations. You're bringing understanding to situations. You're bringing care and love to other people. And you know what? They want to know where you got it, how you get it, and they're going to want to know your Lord. And through using eternal wisdom, we can lead people to an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. So, believer, it's time to ask God to forgive us for using the wrong wisdom and wise up God's way. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask now that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, I pray that your wisdom would prevail this moment and every moment in our lives. Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, let them come to know Jesus. And Father, for those that are believers, that we would put worldly wisdom aside, and Father, we would just bow before you and allow your mind to pour through us, that we might show others what eternal wisdom is, that they might want our Jesus. Guide us to decision now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.